Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
So this morning, someone reminded me that we're in the last week of the first month in the second quarter of this year. Cheesy, right? But yes, the month is moving on, and it's a good time to remind us that we are counting down to the Lagos Startup Expo holding on May 20. Bolu, why are you doing that?
You're doing like a gangster.
Lagos Startup Expo is holding on May 20, and we are counting down already. It's like 23 days to the D-Day. And I'm so excited about it for so many reasons. And one of that is that it's another opportunity to network and meet amazing people and also find out different things that people are building in the tech ecosystem, not just in Lagos, Nigeria, but in the whole of Africa. And I'm betting it with you, there will be a lot of startups and people that have not even yet turned the idea to startups, right? They are coming there to display what they are building and get clients and get people to use their product. And the interesting thing is that you can even meet businesses that will use your product. So it's not just tech enthusiasts that are coming to use your product. You are going to meet decision makers in startups, in companies. You're going to meet entrepreneurs like yourself. And let me just tell you, come and buy a booth. You're not even buying a booth. Book a booth. Book a booth at Lagos Startup Expo that is holding on May 20. And how do you reach us? You can send an email to business@techpoint.africa to know about all your options. Or you can go to lagosstartupexpo.com and check out all the amazing things we have prepared for you on that day. With me today in the studio is
Chimgo's Dream
and
Bolu.
Why are you not talking loud? You see me shout. Why are you done in my space? What's your name?
Chim Gozirim.
Bolu.
Yes. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Who is having you? So today we are touring around Africa. Then we will talk about something that is happening in the world scene. So fasten your seatbelt. It's not going to be a roller coaster. But yes. And it's a good time to also appreciate those that have been commenting. We've been seeing your comments on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, and we appreciate your feedback, and we are trying to implement all you've been telling us to do to make this podcast a more enjoyable one. Thank you very much. Keep them coming. Today, we heard that there's a beef. I smell beef. Even they don't call it a beef, I smell beef. Because, what's it called? Elon Musk now wants to carry Starlink to South Africa. And it's surprising because many of these, whenever like there's a global company trying to set foot in Africa, they will consider one of the big four. And the one that is most of the time on top of the list is South Africa, but Starlink is not going to South Africa. And it's surprising, but we found out that there's actually something behind it, and it's probably from the side of the government, right? They are saying Starlink should get some licenses, and I feel Starlink and Elon Musk Starlink, they are not interested in it. I don't know what is behind it and why they are not going for those licenses, but Starlink has set foot in Africa already, and Nigeria was the first stop, then Kenya, then there are more coming. I think is in Rwanda too. Rwanda, yes. Then in the rest of 2023 it will soon be in Zambia, Angola, and Tunisia also, Ghana and Egypt. But South Africa, what's going on? South Africa has the highest highest consumership of internet. And I hope they resolve whatever it is going on between them. I hope they resolve it, but I still smell a beef. But okay. We'll move on from that. Let's move from South Africa to Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Bolu,
yes.
What is up? The name of the country is hard to pronounce. Why should they be having problems again?
Zimbabwe. It's actually quite easy for me, Sha. Yeah, but before I go to Zimbabwe, I just want to go back to South Africa for a brief moment and just someone made a comment on something I spoke about in the last podcast, I think. Yeah, I said something about Netflix and I mentioned One Piece, right? As a South African movie that was getting a very huge funding. So that was an error. One Piece is being shot in South Africa, but it's not exactly a South African movie. So thank you very much for catching that. Yeah. So back to Zimbabwe now. Landed. All right. So in Zimbabwe, I'm sure if you follow global news, or even if you don't, you know Zimbabwe has been suffering from hyperinflation for some time. Their currency devalued to an extent where, like, I mean, when a country has a note that says 1 billion, right, you know something is really wrong. So what Zimbabwe is trying to do now is to peg its currency to a gold-backed digital currency, right? So they want to create a digital currency, a Zimbabwean digital currency that is backed by gold, right? This essentially means that currency's value is dependent on the value of gold. Right. So it is basically what you see stable coins doing. So when they call stable coins are backed by different things, right? So if you want something to remain, to stay in a particular value, to remain as to keep that value, you need to back it with something strong. So if you want something to have the value of the US dollar, you need to back it with the US dollar. So if I'm issuing a certain digital currency and I say one of these things is equal to $1, that means for every currency I'm issuing, I need to have $1, yes, equivalent to back it. So basically how the thing works, right? But the thing is, Zimbabwe would need $100 million worth of gold.
In reserve
to back this currency that they are planning to launch, right? And it seems like something they can do, because already in the first quarter of this year, they already made over $300 million
in gold.
Yeah, right. So I think what they would need to do is to beef up production or mining, whatever it is, of gold, and have that in store to back the currency they're about to launch. I think it's pretty brilliant. I'm not an economist, so I don't want to say what I don't know, but because I've seen this work with stable coins, with digital currencies, they are stable coins, you can call them cryptocurrencies, so I think it can also work.
So, aside from that, it could also work since one of Zimbabwe's largest exports is gold.
Yeah.
So, they mine gold. So, it's kind of at their fingertips. They have it as a natural resource.
Mm.
So, they are trying to work with what they have to get what they want. Mm. It sounds feasible.
Yes, it does. Feasible. But then, I mean, when we rule out all the theoretical, and then we say, oh, it has worked with stable coins, it might work this way, it's also important for us to think about what this could do to the US dollar, because it turns out that Russia is also planning to work with countries that are willing to do this kind of thing, right?
Mm.
Which means it will render... they won't have to use the US dollar again, right? And the owners of the US dollar, I do not think, will be happy with something like this. And they always have a way.
I don't think it becomes a threat until maybe the largest of the largest economies.
I mean,
because you know, wait. So what I'm trying to say is that now some economies are large. Mm. They are backed by the US. Their currencies are backed by the US dollars. Yeah. Okay. And the US has like a leverage on them. They probably have loans they have to pay back to the US, so they cannot make that kind of decision.
True.
Yes. True. So maybe the US should not worry yet. Zimbabwe.
Nobody get that US.
True though. But I'm just trying to say that maybe it's not something to worry about. Maybe it's not yet a cause for alarm.
Maybe it's not. And you know, that's, yeah, you're actually right, because I mean, it's the reserve currency for many, many, many countries. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that will change overnight. But then if it will change, it also happen gradually. It will happen. True, yeah. True. So
just need to see it.
Yeah, they need to nip it in the bud before.
Nip it in the bud. Why?
Yes,
it's not necessary.
It is actually necessary for them to remain the reserve currency, because it helps them with sanctions and things like that. Because a country that has been sanctioned by, say, the US, for example, will not be able to trade with other countries. But then if there's an alternative, right, a very easy alternative, which means they don't have to use, there's this particular global system of that makes it possible for countries to send money between Swift. Countries. Yes, Swift. So which means you don't have to use all that, right? You can now use something as straightforward as sending USDT to someone.
I think we should just wait till it works in the economy. Once it works in that economy,
I mean, if it works for Zimbabwe, Nigeria could try something like that.
Yeah, has a lot of things, so but things holding it back. So, but that's not a conversation for today. Mm. I think we should come down to Nigeria and talk about something that I just read this head, like a conversation that created a lot of buzz on the internet because we wanted it to be true so bad. Really wanted it to be true. It's about one of Nigeria's popular artists and techpreneur, Mr. Easy. What was it about?
Okay. So last week, there were some reports flying around that Mr. Easy had sold his company Nvidia to Gamma. Well, it turns out that was false, because one, he doesn't own the company, and you can't sell something that doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a little digging and discovered that one, Nvidia is obviously, like I said, not his company. The claim was some other reports. So there were a lot of conflicting reports. Some people said, this is Mr. Easy's company, and he sold it for $1 billion, which was, I think, the first alarm bell for me, because $1 billion is huge, regardless of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And for a Nigerian company to be selling for $1 billion, then, and especially music tech, that was quite unusual, still is unusual. So I checked, and some of the reports also said that, okay, oh, it's not Mr. Easy, it's Zagadat Capital that was an investor in Nvidia. Yeah. So what really happened is that Nvidia was sold. That's actually true. It was sold last year to Gamma. So Gamma is like a company that is trying to build software for music distribution across the world. So it was founded by a former Apple Music executive, Larry Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not acquired. We still do not know the actual value, because none of the parties have said this is how much we were acquired for. We just heard that they were acquired. But I guess where the $1 billion rumor started is that there are reports that Gamma raised $1 billion to back its investments. So we are not also sure of how much they raised. So this is probably a lot of speculation,
mm-hmm,
masquerading itself as fact. Yep. So that's like what was here. So after seeing the news, I published an article that was trying to set the facts straight in a way. And a representative from Empower Africa reached out with a claim that they did invest in Vidya. So according to him, the investment was done through Empower Africa Ghana, which is a subsidiary of Empower Africa. And he also mentioned that, so in the article I pointed out that Zagadat Capital, so there are no public records of the investments they've done apart from the, I think that was probably their first investment in PowerPay. So PowerPay is a fintech startup that they invested in, I think, 2021. So I mentioned that there's no public record of any other investment they have done, but the representative claims they have invested in startups like Eden Life, Pacer, and a few other startups across Africa. So so far, we still don't have like any concrete evidence that yes, there was an investment. But the reality is that Mr. Eze did not sell the company for $1 billion. First of all, he did not. He, through Empower Africa, may have been an investor in it. Vidya. So until we can confirm without any doubt that yes, Empower Africa did invest, we can't authoritatively say that he did invest in Vidya. So yes, was Vidya sold for $1 billion? No. Did Mr. Eze become a billionaire through that deal? Most likely not. So yes, I mean, it's a good thing that a Nigerian investor got an exit, hopefully a very favorable exit, but let's know what you are saying, please.
Yeah, he's good, but we want true good.
Jim is leaving us with that word. Let's know what you are doing.
Oh yes.
And from there we move to Rwanda, right? We've come to live with the fact or the reality that one of the biggest problems that African countries face is the issue of identity. And it's a lot that private institutions have tried to solve it, governments have tried to solve it. And in this case, Rwanda's government, the Rwandan government rather, has come up with something like, you know, when you take something digital, it kind of gives it this sense of it the problem becomes less of a problem. And yes, it gives it some sort of sophistication. Oh God, English is hard.
So, I understand.
Yes, you get. So what is Rwanda doing with digital ID?
All right. So what they're basically doing is there is a proposition, right? A legislative proposition to make the current process of ID registration and issuance digital. So it will not be the usual. You're smiling. You're feeling me, man.
No, I'm not feeling you because I know how it is with some countries I will not mention.
Okay, okay, yeah. So registration and issuance of identity will now be digital. In they are proposing that they want to make it digital, right? They want to amend what they already had in 2008 Act, mm-hmm. on how it already works. So they want to, you know, make it nice, you know, more digital. And it's coming in two ways. Some say three, but I think it's coming in two ways, right? Where you still have the physical ID, but that ID will have a QR code that when scanned, it will reveal, okay, it will reveal the details about this person. And then there will also be, there's another one that is coming with, the QR code, we have biometric data, everything stored. And then there's another one coming as a token, right? It's not really clear how that will work exactly. But I think the most important thing about this news is what makes, you know, digital IDs different from what is already in existence, right? And the most important thing is that it combines, digital ID now will now combine everything into one. And I say everything, I mean every form of identity. So we are talking driver's license, we are talking Even bank cards, you can now withdraw money with your with that card. Basically this everything, even assets you own will be linked to that identity, because what Rwanda is actually trying to do is they are calling it the SDID, which is Single Digital ID System, right? And then I looked into it and I saw that it's actually something UN wants for every country, for every member country, right? That by is part of their
goals.
Yes, their SDG, right? So by 2030, they want all member countries to have this form of identification, right? So that means that it's giving a really weird vibe, right? Kind of weird privacy vibe, because that means there's a central place where every single thing about you could be accessible.
Is that not the ideal?
Yes, but the issue is, can I now control? It's so centralized that I can't. The control, anybody can control. Anybody that gets access to that thing can do anything with it. You can even be deleted. If they delete your
data, you do not exist.
You don't exist, and you don't belong to any country.
Yes, I understand all the concerns that are around it, especially privacy concern. But I believe that this should be the ideal. Why should I, for instance, as a Nigerian, have an NIN, National Identification Number? Why should I have a VIN, Voters Identification Number? Why should I have a BVN, Bank Verification Number? Why? Why can't I have a single thing that can use to identify me as a citizen of a country? So that is why I'm saying that should be the ideal. I think as of the time that the Nigerian government was very, very, very serious about enforcing everyone to get their national education card, I think we were told that to come to a time that card, the plastic one, the permanent one, would have a chip in it that we can use to withdrawals as bank cards. And it was nice to know, but this is where we are now. Like, you don't even get a physical card. And as of the time, as of people that got their card in the early 2010s, right, the number on their card is different from the NIN that is needed now. So just imagine that kind of thing. So if a government is coming on and saying that introducing a digital card would make sure that there's like a central database for everyone that is considered as a citizen of that country, I believe it's welcome. It's welcome. What they should now pay attention to is the security of that data.
Yeah.
Right? They should pay attention to privacy and make sure that this thing is not porous. I think that is the trust issue that citizens have with African government.
Yes, but
this thing is too porous. Like, just look at a government website and like I have a penetration tester on my list. Okay. Yeah. And I think a few months ago he sent me a zip file containing what's it called? Excel sheets of a particular university. Like, I could assess everything, and he got it from open web. What do they call dark web?
Dark web.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Where these people, when they act, where they go and put it for sale.
Yeah.
That dark place. Web. That was where he got it from, and he was trying to tell me that it's not a Nigerian, it's a Pakistani, and he was trying to tell him that, hey, we've tried this a number of times. They don't respond. So that is where the trust issue is coming from. If you can't protect my data, why do you want to put everything in a spot? But personally, I believe it's welcome. And it would be nice to see if an African country can pull it off. It would be very nice to see.
I just feel that they'll be opening it up to...
You see the
to other, aside from the privacy issue, I think the UN is really spearheading this thing and wants it to work because they also want access.
I mean, this won't be the first time that African countries in particular fall behind on SDG goals. It's almost like, it's expected that they would always fall behind. Even if you give them 50 years, they would always fall behind. But for me, I think I mean, for the government, it feels cool. But if I was a card issuer, for example, I don't know, you're taking away a source of revenue for me. So I'm going to push back against it.
What's the English?
Choice.
You don't have a choice. It's the government you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the government we're talking about. But if I saw enough doubts into people, so you go to your bank gives you an ATM card, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have four accounts, for example, with four different banks. All of them give you cards.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go and maybe, so for example, we have a banking regulator in Nigeria, CBN, yeah? So why does the CBN not just say, one card to rule them all? So you have one card and you can't.
Is that not what Nigeria wants to do with Afrigo?
No, that's not really what they want to do. It's just introducing one extra card scheme. But yeah, if I have one card, that means the banks have to figure out
a way to key into it.
Yeah, and how do they make the money? Who is going to be making the money? So I'm looking at it from the part of being a business owner, who this makes up a significant, because that makes a lot of money for banks and guys like that. So I don't know. The rest, the whole privacy issues, I don't know. It may probably be reserved. I'm not so big on privacy, but I know why it's important. But it's not something that keeps me up at night.
Okay.
Yes. We've had a great conversation around Africa, and it's a good time to mention that sometimes in January we mentioned that Tech Nation was going to shut down, and they put the date at March 31st. But in the meantime, they asked for people that are interested in acquiring their assets to show up, and they received a dozen of interest, but they decided to go with Founders Forum Group. So Founders Forum Group has acquired Tech Nation, and what that means and why you should even care about this thing I'm telling you is that Tech Nation Visa is back, right? Did they ever go? No, because Tech Nation continued to receive applications for Tech Nation as the endorsement body for Global Talent Visa. So the application didn't stop the application, so they kept coming in the anticipation that there will be a new endorser soon. And here we are, Founders Forum to the rescue. And yes, they are not only just acquiring Tech Nation, they are taking up and relaunching some of their initiatives that were stopped because of lack of fund. And they are also going to bring some people on board the leadership role, because the founding CEO has moved to an advisory role. So is out of the CEO role. But the good news is that, if I want to say like in Nigeria, is sure that Tech Nation Visa is back, and is something that a lot of Nigerians have benefited from. In fact, it's the second country, Nigeria is the second country with the largest beneficiary of Tech Nation Visa. So yes, it's good news, and we are happy that it happened like that. Thank you very much for joining us once again. Don't forget about our newsletters, the flagship newsletter, TechPoint Digest, the Workaholic, that talks about everything about employment, work, HR, layoffs, and what have you. And also the FinTech Today, spearheaded by Chigo. Whichever one you want to go with. Yes, and don't forget to subscribe to this newsletter, share with your friends, with your network, and
your enemies.
Reply to our emails, please. Yes, Lagos Startup Expo is holding, and we already have exciting products or startups that are already on the list of exhibitors. We have Rackmedia, we have Cardtonic, we have Cardify, we have Anchor, and Gray. So we have a number of them, and we would like you to join them. We have them, we already have like different sponsors announcements. You don't want to miss out on this. And if you want to attend, to go to LagosStartupExpo.com and and attend to be and register right there to be an attendee. This is hard. Don't you miss Emmanuel? Emmanuel should be back next week here to host this beautiful podcast, and I can take a break. But for the meantime, I enjoyed doing this. Thank you for joining us today. Hope I'm not missing out anything.
Bye.
Hope. No. So let's say advice. Bye.
Bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.